Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. As we continue to celebrate Christmas and know that Christ came to dwell among us, today as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, it offers us another opportunity with a great intention to think about how Christ really does dwell and that he came to dwell even among families as we honor the Holy Family. And the more we ponder God's word, though, there are these mysteries that kind of unfold. And the first reading might be an example of that. In the Old Testament, there are a few occasions where even some of the women in the Old Testament, like Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist, that they were challenged to have a child. And so we hear this episode of this woman praying and her desiring to have a child, and once she conceives that she's willing to dedicate it to God. And so we hear this story that when the child was weaned, she brought it to the temple and gave it back to God. It reminds us about this context of thinking about giving and giving back to God, because all things are really of God. And today, as we ponder this mystery of the Holy Family, we then know that holiness also kind of happens in that moment and sometimes in the interchange of gifts being received and also given, and that holiness has many angles and opportunities to blossom, even as we hear more of the Holy Family and their excursion to Jerusalem, even for the Passover. This gospel gives us the context to ponder even the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple, and to think that why was he there? And it's obvious, he already knew at a young age his vocation to really be God's servant and Savior, but his parents didn't quite understand that. The more we think about God's word, though, Jesus said, I must be in my Father's house and about my Father's business, that he already claimed that challenge and that invitation to be God's humble servant. And as his parents began to slowly understand this in later years, the gift of relationship began to also evolve. And today in the second reading from John, he reminds us that we're called to be children of God. So the sense of being the family of God because of faith and our baptism. But then with it are the expectations maybe of God, that we would live by his commands, love and honor, and be blessed with the Spirit that helps us in those moments of trial and tribulation. I want to share with you another story that might give us a way to think about this feast. So it's a story about a family that was gathering, or ready to celebrate Christmas, even a couple days after Christmas. And Lucy was about 4 and a half, and she had a younger brother named Dean. He was about 2. And she liked to be independent and kind of have her ways, but she began to notice, especially at this family gathering, that her younger brother got a little more attention. He got to have toys and even got more gifts. And so there's a little bit of jealousy that began to arise. And finally, she pondered and saw things. And so she went back to the parents and the adults sitting in a room and says, I have a great idea. Today, we're not only celebrating Christmas, but I'm going to play Christmas. And I'm going to be Santa Claus, and our little brother Dean is going to be the present, and I'm going to give him away. You know, sometimes in our lives, we would think, because we have family challenges or we don't get along with people, that in some sense we want to give them away. But we would regret that. And Christ and the Holy Family reminds us about this uniqueness of relationships that need to evolve, and sometimes they need to be reconciled, and yet understanding needs to also be a part of this whole process of growing as disciples and as part of the family of God. And then to think about the concept of this little girl saying, I wanted to give my brother away, but it's about giving a gift away too. That when we are blessed with God's goodness, that we ought to share it, and that's part of Christmas. But on a deeper level, it's the gift of virtue that slowly evolves because we imitate Christ and the Holy Family. And thus, not only does happiness unveil itself in our experience of celebrating and being with one another, and sometimes encouraging one another during moments of suffering and loss, that the Christ child becomes the center and somehow moves us and draws us closer to God, who's not only merciful, compassionate, and loving, but one who always bestows life upon us. This morning, in part of my prayer, I read a little bit from Pope Paul VI, who said, "We also know that at the end of the gospel, it says, once they found Jesus, they brought him back to Nazareth, which is kind of like the hometown where he grew up." And he says this, that I found it rather insightful. He says, Nazareth was a kind of a special school for discovering Christ's life. God's Son became known, profound, and yet full of hidden mystery. And two things happened. That also was there a sense of the ordinary that took place. And in the ordinary, it means natural things that happen, that Christ began to evolve and become known. But also with it was spiritual discipline. It says Jesus grew in age, wisdom, and favor before God and man. And we're here present today to honor the third commandment, honoring God, but in a sense to really grow in that spiritual discipline of saying still God wants to guide us and help us, because that's why he sent us Christ. And thus there are really, I would call, or propose maybe three rules that kind of follow from this experience of pondering and praying about the Holy Family and knowing we're called to imitate their gift of virtue. So three things. One would be is that we would always still try our best to put God first. And thus coming to pray this morning is a wonderful example, and I thank you for being here. But it's about honoring God not only in personal prayer, sometimes in our home, in the domestic church, of trying to pray as a family, trying to still pass on the gifts of God's wisdom by example and deed. And then also our commitment to worship and to sharing the gifts that God gives us as stewards. And then secondly, to strive, even though it's not always easy, to love one another, not only our enemies, but even family members who we sometimes have a difference with. And then thirdly, on a deeper level, to honor our families, even parents and grandparents and those who have gone before us, that we still pray for them and sometimes invite their guidance in our lives. You know, when I think about my parents and grandparents, that I probably wouldn't be a priest today unless I had their example and their ways of prayer, their ways of challenging me sometimes to seek the right path and to follow through with the guidance of Christ. So as we pray today and continue to be guided by Jesus, God's Son, we know that he wants to guide us towards the eternal kingdom, and thus we desire to follow their example and discover the gifts and yet share them and receive them and most of all be grateful for them, because they are of God. And when the gifts come from God, they're not only holy, but they renew us and continually outpour or give us the gifts of God that bring us peace, joy, and fulfillment.